Hi, I'm Daisy.
Hi, I'm David.
And we're the MSA Crusaders.
Hello to all our listeners. We're here with another episode of MSA Crusaders. And today we have a very special guest, someone we've tried to get to come on our show, and he's finally here. Say hello to Philip Fortier, founder, president, and chair of Defeat MSA Alliance. He's MSA United Research Consortium and founding director of Defeat MSA Canada, Defeat MSA Australia, and founder of trustee of Defeat MSA New Zealand.
Welcome, Phil.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you
Philip,
very
we
much.
are so glad you finally decided to come on and talk to us.
Well, I've been trying to make it here,
Well, you've been
as
busy in all these countries that I just talked
and
about.
I think you're doing an amazing job in bringing awareness to the world, and more awareness, the better.
That's our
So,
goal.
yeah, education, awareness, and support too. It's not only awareness, but it's also support. You're supporting other people with this devastating disease just by talking about it. Talking to other people about it is brings support, I think.
Absolutely. Phil, can you tell us a little bit about yourself outside of Defeat MSA Alliance? Who
Sure.
is Phil Fortier?
Okay. Well, my training is in philosophy. I'm a professor of philosophy. I that discipline that nobody really makes any money, so they teach us. But anyway, so I teach at a two. I'm like half time here and half time there. Basically, I teach at two or three. Whenever anybody gives me a job is when I teach. Right now, I'm doing mostly online work, online teaching. And I come from a big family in Detroit, and I've traveled quite a bit throughout my life. To philosophy conferences as well as other conferences. And let's see what else. I have a graduate degree in philosophy and comparative religions, comparative theologies. So I enjoy studying different cultures as well and different languages as well as different philosophies, the philosophies of the world, history of the world.
That's pretty awesome.
Phil is one of the few people who you could sit down with, and I'm pretty sure he could actually hold a conversation with that background.
Philip, I'm gonna ask you a few questions.
Sure.
I want to know a few things about you today, and I'm
Okay.
sure our listeners do too. So, can you provide an overview of the mission and goals of your charity in addressing multiple system atrophy?
Sure. As and I'm sure most of the listeners know, nobody knows MSA. It's vastly underdiagnosed, undiagnosed, and misdiagnosed. And so since nobody knows it, it's hard to get people to pay attention to it. They confuse it with MS, they confuse it with Parkinson's, they confuse it with any other disease but MSA. So that has been a challenge. And that has been the reason for the birth of our charity, because when my brother had MSA, my eldest brother, when he was around, he knew nobody. He had no contact with any other MSA patient or any other caregivers that knew anything about it. Most doctors didn't know about it. So we felt that I come from a sort of activist family. I probably should have mentioned that. My parents were involved in the civil rights movement in Detroit, starting in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. So I had lots of experience with activist, social justice activism. And I attended a university that was kind of geared towards social justice, Jesuit University, and teach at a Jesuit university as well. So we just felt that there was a great need for more awareness, more education, more support. And research wasn't even on our horizon at that point, but now it is. But we have to get started as a charity first to share the lived experience, share the, because everybody has value. Every human person has value. And there's no disease so rare that it doesn't deserve treatment. So we think of patients as, it's a social justice issue, and our MSA community deserves to have awareness, care, education, just like any other community does.
You mentioned your brother passed away from MSA. Is that what inspired this establishment of this charity, and how it has it evolved over time?
Okay. Yep. It was the start of it. My brother was seeking, you know, he was in a couple, well, one trial, rifampin. He wasn't really in a trial, but there was a rifampin was a drug already on the market for another disorder. And he was told to give it a try, but it didn't turn out to be beneficial to him. But he wasn't participating in any other trial. And he was diagnosed at 53 in 2009, 2010, I guess. And he passed away in 2013. So he had a particular fast, seemed to be a fast course of the disease. I'd say much of the progress is slower. You know, I mean, there's some fast, some slow. There seem to be like two or three different strains, I guess. I'm not a doctor, by the way. So disclaimer, disclaimer, disclaimer. I can't, you know, make any absolute pronouncements. So my brother had MSA, and like I said, no doctors knew anything about it. And he was already working for Henry Ford Hospital, which is a big hospital system in Southeast Michigan. And so we knew lots of doctors, yet nobody knew what it was. And so we finally found an expert. In fact, we went to, as a second opinion, we went to Sid Gilman at U of M, which we later found out was he was the one that established the second, he was involved, led the second consensus criteria. He led the renaming of the disease as well. And he was at U of M. So my brother went to him for a second opinion, which he confirmed the original, you know, the first opinion, I guess, or he seconded. And so one of the most significant parts of MSA for my brother was orthostatic hypotension, as you probably know what that is. And on the market, same thing today, there's only two or three meds that are designated, you know, targeted, that target NOH or orthostatic hypotension. Midodrine, Flornev, and Mestinon, or I can't even say the long-winded generic name for that disease, for that drug. But anyway, and we had heard about droxidopa, which was only available in Japan at the time. And so we tried 10 different routes to try to get it through other means, couldn't get it. And so eventually we sought, various people came together and sought to get it approved by the FDA. And so that was my entry into the MSA world. I testified on behalf of the drug. My brother was on it for 6 months of his life. Last 6 months, he was on droxidopa. It's now called Northera. And that was my entry into the MSA world, my activism.
How does your organization support individuals and families affected by MSA?
Well, we try to do, you know, we have our mission. We have five goals of our mission: supporting patients, educating medical professionals, raising public awareness, supporting or nurturing what we can do, promising research, and advocating for the MSA community. So those are our goals as a charity working into our mission. So we try to do at least one or two of those each year. We try to do support, and we do. We have an online support groups, Facebook groups. We also have Zoom when we can do it. We have Zoom support groups. We have a virtual conference. We're on our fifth. This year will be our fifth virtual. I'm hoping that you guys would join in.
The MSA Crusaders. Yeah. It's very informative.
Yeah, it's great. And I hope you are able to help, you know, help support other patients and have breakout sessions. Your podcast is a significant part of our conference this year, I'm hoping. We educate doctors, general practitioners, as well as general neurologists and movement disorder doctors, and autonomic disorders. The two kinds of doctors that are most appropriate for MSA are autonomic specialists and movement disorder specialists. And, you know, they have to be educated. Even though they're in those areas, they probably know something about MSA, but they still have to be educated about particular, you know, symptoms and treatments. Yeah. Research funding. We have developed a consortium, 9-member consortium, 9 charities worldwide together, pooling our money and raising money and supporting research, funding research. The loaner closet. We have the only loaner closet in North America for equipment, borrowed equipment or loaned equipment. When families don't need the equipment anymore, their equipment, they want to pay it forward. More often than not, they want to help. It's 100%. They all want to help other people with MSA. So they hold on to the equipment for a while, you know, as long as they can. And they join the Facebook group for the loaner closet. And they're able to, you know, loan, or they donate the equipment basically to the loaner closet. We give them a tax receipt for the donation. And then that's placed with another family that needs it for their loved one. And then when that is no longer needed, they donate it back to the loaner closet. So that's called the loaner closet. And we host the only one in North America we're the only charity that has hosted and maintained the loaner closet. The traveling shoe, you probably heard about the MSA awareness shoe, and that's a shoe that travels the world, raising awareness. You know, it kicks MSA. Various people pose with it, and I think both of you have done a boomerang with it.
Yes, we all did one.
Yeah, and your lovely wife, David, Susie, did a lovely boomerang with it. A very spontaneous boomerang, and I loved it. I loved it.
Those things you don't expect is like, hey, can you start kicking in the air like you know, karate?
Yeah, exactly. We've had some really high kicks. You know, people that. Like we've had this.
I would fall on the floor.
Me too. I'm terrible. My balance is terrible. We had 2 billboards with the shoe. We had one with Vince Neil in Vegas. He kicked MSA with the shoe. And then we had the Queen of the Blues in Detroit, Thernetta Davis. She was on the Detroit billboard. So we hope to do more to raise awareness. So those are kind of the things that we do to try to support individuals and families.
Well, that loaner closet sure does sound great to help out families. Can you share some success stories that impactful moments that highlight positive outcomes of your charity's efforts?
We've had, you know, it's sort of informal, but we've had testimony. You can go to Defeat MSA. In fact, if you've benefited from us in any way, or you see anything positive about us, hopefully you do. We do our best. We're all volunteers. I do want to point that out. We are completely run by volunteers. And so we don't have professional marketing teams and whatnot. And so we've had people submit testimony that they found, like we have a caregivers group, for example, MSA, it's called MSA, The Caregiver's Journey. And then we have a patients group, MSA Life Affirmations group. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole point. We want to affirm life. Life is important. Life has value. MSA patients are warriors. Our warriors, our heroes have value as human beings. And they ought to be cared for just like anybody else. In fact, they're especially vulnerable. So they should, I think caring for the most vulnerable is something that is an admirable goal for everybody. But so we've had certain people that have, you know, testified to our impact. We, especially the loaner closet, when I'm reminding, it reminds me of Grace Dunn, who was in New York. She's from Ireland originally, but she was in New York, and I can speak to her because she's an example of someone. She received a U-step walker. We sent a U-step walker to her. And we have pictures of her with the U-step, and she really needed it. Charlene Alamon, another gal from Michigan here, she got a U-step walker. And we've sent out, you know, motorized wheelchairs. We've sent out Dynavoxes, you know, the eye gaze machine. We've sent out a variety of equipment that's been placed with, you know, patients that are dealing with the challenges of MSA every day.
Do you ship to Texas?
we ship everywhere we can. I mean, everywhere, you know, that needs it. I mean, it's within reason. Sometimes we can't. Yeah, we include Texas. You know, it's one of the states. But it's hard, though, overseas shipping something. I mean, we've never done that. We've shipped the shoe overseas, but we've never, with shipping costs and whatnot, it'd be great if we found if we had a partnership with an airline, for example, or a shipping company. We are a 501c3, so if we could develop a partnership with somebody, it could help us ship. I know I think it's the AOS Society out west. They have a relationship with a medical company, and this medical company has, you know, semis going, you know, trucks going all over the US, and they save a little part of the space in the truck for loaner equipment. Yeah, it would be great if we had that kind of partnership going on where we could
ship to Texas.
Yeah, ship to Texas, even Texas, and impactful moments.
You know, Phil, I definitely want to give you an affirmation here, because I've said it privately, but, you know, I got a text from a person off of Reddit on my social media account, and he just wanted to talk to somebody about MSA that the doctor had mentioned it could be. And this gentleman was so far north in Canada. As a matter of fact, if you look at our Spotify analytics for the podcast, Daisy, if you can look at it, you'll see one viewer, the very northernmost county or state, I guess, region in province. Canada, province, right? And that's him. And
wow.
he was devastated because his doctors had no clue about MSA, no treatments, nobody within 8 hours of driving. Now he's in the middle of the North Pole, basically. But you know, you can't just go 8 hours just to find treatment for that. But he had no references, no information, nothing about it. And I mentioned the Defeat MSA Alliance. And about a week later, he texted me back and said, you know, he wanted to thank me. But I mean, it was all because you, Phil, all the information he had, the information he was able to give to his doctors to at least start the process of, you know, in the meantime, until he can get that far, at least they can start with some type of information to help him. So, you know, you may not hear it on the websites and written down from time to time, but it's definitely a great tool. And we thank you for that.
You'd have to go with something with the ass trackers.
With what?
Ice truckers.
I thought you said ice strippers, and I'm gonna edit that out.
Ice truckers? Yeah. Oh, you mean ice truckers? You know,
yeah.
You know, sending the trucks up there.
Is that your accent coming out?
Yeah. Let's do instead. Let's get a truck to go down south, and we'll all get on it.
Yeah.
All right. I don't like cold weather, so let's go down south instead.
You're welcome in Texas.
Yeah, Texas, right? Even Texas, you know. But, you know, I was thinking also, our virtual conference, we had over 1,000 people at our last virtual conference, over 1,000 attendees, 42 speakers in 9 different languages. And for the first time ever, we had lectures in Spanish. We had lectures in Russian. We have lectures in German. You know, we have, you know, Danish, Italian, French. And for some of the patients worldwide, the sad thing about MSA is it is universal, it's global. And maybe there may not be tons and tons like, you know, other or unfortunate diseases like cancer. But the sad thing about MSA, it is truly universal. And there are people all over the world. And a lot of people have been diagnosed with Parkinson's, but really have MSA, and you just don't know it. And they're all over the world. And this is the first time their diseases received attention in their own language. You know, all the doctors know English, but the patient community, the caregivers, they generally only know their language, whatever their language is. And so it gives them, it's all available on YouTube, these lectures from the previous virtual conferences, and we're aiming to produce more. So we have received a lot of good feedback, you know, thanking us for presenting something about MSA in a different language. That's the virtual conference that I'm speaking about, and we hope to, you know, continue on doing that, both written form and lectures. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. That's in September.
Well, we don't know yet. We don't know this year when it's going to be. You know, but it's going to be later on in the year. because we have MSA Awareness Month, which is March. And then in October, there's World MSA Day. And then there's Rare Disease Days, late February, February 29th this year. So we don't know. There's, you know, plenty, but we're run by all volunteers, as I said.
That's
so,
a good day to have it on a day that's only here around for 4 years. It's rare.
Yeah, right. It is rare. It's rare.
That's true, actually. That's a good point.
But it was on, it was February 28th last year. So it's rare every year. But once a year, it's Rare Disease Day is every day, and MSA Day is every day, right? Mm-hmm. To us, you know, to
rare
us.
Days. In what ways does your charity collaborate with the medical and research communities to advance understanding and treatment of MSA?
That's a good question, and I got a good answer for you. We are the charity that started the only global consortium for MSA. So we have a 9-member charity consortium, and we're pooling our money. Last year, we funded 5 studies, 2 at the University of Sydney in Australia, 1 in Denmark, 1 in Canada, and 1 in Florida. So these are scientific studies that were done, and we have 18 permanent research advisors. These are the world's experts. They're both scientific and clinical clinicians, meaning they treat patients as well as they are doing research. You know, some of them do just research and don't treat patients, and some of them treat patients and do research. And so we also have adjunct research advisors, you know, helpers that help, that assist in the review of and they do a very scientific, we have a grants management platform. They do a very scientific analysis of the proposals, and they get up to $50,000 each for research funding for seed money, because we're a charity. We can only provide seed money, mm-hmm. initial money, but they're expected to get funding from elsewhere, government, from other sources. And so every year we participate. We try to have a yearly call, participate with other charities in our consortium to fund research. We also sponsor events, you know, like there was a global meeting. It was supposed to be in Japan, but COVID hit and then it became an online thing. We are one of the principal sponsors for the global research meeting that happened, the last one. And it was hosted by a Japanese university. We also sponsor the Signuclein meeting, the last meeting, which happens every 2 or 3 years. There's a Signuclein meeting, which is all the diseases connected to alpha-synuclein. So it's MSA, Parkinson's, and Lewy body dementia. This is what they call the synucleinopathies. Say that 10 times fast. And we sponsored a conference on the alpha-synuclein protein.
Excellent. Bill, what challenges does your charity face in raising awareness about MSA, and how are you trying to overcome those?
Good question. The reason for starting the charity is because nobody knows. Nobody, the public doesn't know. Most doctors don't know. Even I asked, I Wilt mentioned that our charity was co-founded by my spouse, who's a neurologist, and that we're the only charity that's ever been started by a neurologist, you know, that knows, that has a family connection to MSA. My brother passed from MSA. So I once asked a group of general neurology, these are residents, and I was at a party one day, and this was before my brother had already been diagnosed by then, but it was before the charities were started. And I asked a group of, you know, residents what MSA was. And only one person knew anything. It was like, you know, 10 or 15 residents there. There's only one person that knew anything about MSA, and he called it by the old name, Shi-Dragger disease, or at least mm-hmm. one of the old names. So I felt like at that point, boy, we really need to get the word out there. Yeah, it's a rare disease, but, you know, these people are just as important as anybody else is. And, you know, doctors, it should be a constant. When you're a doctor or a nurse, there should be a constant search for knowledge. I think that's part of the nature of that profession. You know, every profession, I think, is but especially doctors that are treating people and nurses that are helping treat people, we should have, there should be an openness to learning about new diseases and even diseases that you might not see in your lifetime or your lifetime of your profession. There should be an openness to learning about it. And, you know, usually everybody's intellectually curious, but we need to do more to present, to educate medical professionals, educate other, not only among doctors, but nurses, PT, OT, speech, even holistic doctors, homeopathic doctors, nutritionists. You know, there should be effort to increase awareness among the other specialties as well. So how to overcome them? Well, education. We do education of doctors. We have to do a lot more to educate doctors, having specialty clinics and, you know, published information on our board. Our VP, at the last VP of our charity, Ann Bakchi, she's the first person to publish an article about MSA in a national nurse practitioner journal. She's a nurse practitioner. She's a professor at Rutgers University, New Jersey. And she's the first one to ever publish an article about MSA in a national nurse practitioner journal. So we need more of that. We need more professionals that are interested in publishing about MSA and educating other doctors about MSA and medical professionals.
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure we can all agree that, especially Daisy and myself, you know, going around treating and being diagnosed for MSA, that it was an uphill battle to find anybody besides the movement disorder specialist that actually knew what MSA was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've gotten better. I mean, things were much worse, actually, you know, 20 years ago.
The top strength, you know, like they should all be number one strength, learning.
You would think so.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you know, that's also one of those things where, you know, some diseases are grouped up and more in certain locations where they got to focus more on this than that. So, yeah, I mean, you live in a small town in Texas and I live up here by big time Chicago. So it's, you know, I'm still flabbergasted how there's such a, it's hard to even find doctors in Chicagoland that have experience with MSA, you know?
Well, look, what did it take me? 3-4 months to find a new neurologist?
Mm-hmm.
Or specialist? I haven't seen her yet, but yeah.
Amazing.
I've been looking since the 1st of December.
Oh, you're on the right track.
Yes, let's cross fingers and hope so.
Bill, are there any specific like initiatives that you're particularly excited about within your charity?
Well, we just started a repurposing fund. What that means is there are drugs on the market already today that have shown some promise or some benefit to MSA, but they're not right now. It's not as well known, or, you know, there's not been enough investigation by the experts into that drug. So a few years ago, Cure Parkinson's in the UK started reviewing for Parkinson's. They reviewed 300 drugs. The experts got together, met yearly, and evaluated these 300 drugs that were already approved. That means they passed through already the safety requirements for a drug's approval, and they were already on the market for other disorders. And so it's sort of a shortcut. I mean, it's a no-brainer, in my opinion. It's really a no-brainer. What we hope to do is do the same thing for MSA, shortcut the process and get the evidence for the benefit for them for MSA and get them approved for MSA so that drugs can be available to our patients faster. You know, it takes 5 to 10 years for, well, more than, it's roughly about 10 years for a drug to get approved in the U.S. And the whole world follows the U.S., our processes. For whatever reason, the FDA is the standard for drug approval. So we need to push, which brings me to, you know, it reminds me of of legislation that is coming up.
About to ask you. Yeah.
We're working. It's Senate Bill 1906. I might as well mention it. Oh, you have it there. Okay. And we are advocating. We endorsed it. We signed on. We're the only MSA charity to sign on so far for the approval of Senate Bill 1906, which is fast tracking provisional approval. It's a provisional approval for rare neurodegenerative diseases, drugs for rare people with rare neurodegenerative, can't say it today, diseases. There's in the House, there's a similar bill, the same language. I don't recall the designated number for that one, but it's a bipartisan, very important to say bipartisan, both Republican and Democrat sponsors this bill. And it's a great bill because our people need it. Our people need access to drugs for the symptoms, to manage the debilitating symptoms of MSA. And we need drugs. We need drugs to, we hopefully will get a disease modifying drug, something that slows MSA or reverses it. And even drugs that, like Theravance is doing a study for ampreloxetine. Now that's for blood pressure, for orthostatic hypotension. But I believe that stopping people from falling is disease modifying. It helps, in a way, protect against decline because you don't fall. You know, even though it's a drug for symptom, the symptom of orthostatic hypotension, but it does help prevent falls. So in a sense, that's disease modifying. But we need to fast track all these. We need more drugs, more tools at our disposal for people with MSA.
And that bill you're talking about is the Promising Pathway Act.
Yeah, Promising Pathways Act. Thank you. Senate Bill 1906. Get your, if any of your listeners want to help, they can reach out to us. I'll give you my email. Best email is the Gmail account, which is defeatmsa@gmail.com. defeatmsa@gmail.com. Email us, and we will, if you want to sign on to supporting this legislation, no money required, just start your voice, your vote, your passion, your interest in helping us get this approved by the government, because the government is responsible to us. We are the boss of government.
We pay them.
Yeah, we pay them. Yeah, exactly. They are our employee in a sense. They should be working for us, and they are responsible to help us, to help the community, especially people with the most vulnerable people are the people with MSA. So, and their caregivers too, the caregivers are challenged by this disease as well as people with suffering from it, challenged by it. So we are excited about advocating, getting this bill passed and signed into law so that our people can have drugs faster and experimental drugs faster. We also have the repurposing fund. That's another thing. If you're interested in supporting the repurposing fund, exploring what drugs can be repurposed for MSA, then please, go to our website, defeatmsa.org. You can donate there. You can also email us. We also do, of course, yearly fundraising. We all need, we need research money. We really need to get, we need to be the change you want to see. You want to see change in the MSA world, do it. Stand up, help us. Walk with us. Walk with us and try to make it a better world for our people with MSA in the future, presently and in the future. Hosting the shoe, another thing. If you want to raise awareness, you want to host the shoe. We have this MSA awareness shoe that travels the world raising awareness, and it's people take photos with it. People with MSA, their caregivers, and also celebrities. If you know of anybody that's a celebrity, we'll take just about anybody.
Thank you, Phil. You make me feel so much better now.
Yeah.
David and I will be willing to help you any way we can,
Yeah.
We want to get some of those drugs that reverse the symptoms that they'll say that David is eligible for, I'm eligible for, and others, many others.
Yeah. Exactly.
Not one like the GDNF that told David he couldn't, and told me I couldn't and told everybody couldn't. No.
I'm sorry.
He needs some help.
If we take the shoe and smack him around with it, I think that might help.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got a lot of metal objects on it. You know, it would kind of hurt.
Might sting a little bit.
Phil, what advancements or breakthroughs in MSA research are you hopeful for in the future? I mean, obviously, the cure is it, right? But realistically speaking, especially in the near term, what are some breakthroughs you might be hopeful for in the future?
Well, we have, as you probably know, the trials that have been either going on right now, they're recruiting or they're finished recruiting or they're about to recruit. You can actually go to our website. We have a pipelines page and you can click. There's a button at the top where you can click it and it will take you to the clinicaltrials.gov website for the U.S. government. But the whole world follows the U.S. FDA process. So that lists all the trials going on right now anywhere in the world for MSA, interventional as well as observational trials, natural history trials as well. So people like Alterity, Ionis, Takeda, Lundbeck, these Theravance, AskBio, they're all doing trials right now. Ono, these are pharmaceutical companies that are doing trials. They're either recruiting or yet to recruit or have just stopped recruiting, and they're in the different phases of drug approval. So
have you heard anything about Takeda? They like keep pushing theirs off.
Well, I haven't heard anything that, no, I haven't heard that. I mean, I've heard different things about different, there was a little problem with the supply chain. I can't remember if it was Takeda or some other pharmaceutical company.
Takeda changed different, and they're having a hard time getting the infusions, but they were pushed off until mid-January. Now they pushed them off until February. Mm. That's what kept me from being eligible for that trial.
I haven't heard that, but we're updating our page, our pipelines page. Got somebody working on that, a volunteer working to update the page. So, but if you just go to that page at defeatmsa.org, go to the pipelines, MSA research at the top, and then one of the subheadings is the pipeline or page, and you click on that top button, it will take you to clinicaltrials.gov website. And it's a little hard to read, it's not real user friendly, but that's how government is, unfortunately, even though they work for us. They work for us, and yet their website's not user friendly. Yeah, go ahead. In fact, instead, why don't you replace all the senators with people like us, you, me, and David? Yeah, I'd like to, Senator David Knox. Senator Knox, honestly. Have you ever thought about running? I mean, I would support you, even though I'm in Michigan. I would,
Daisy Page.
I'd become a carpetbagger and go down and move to Indiana to vote for you.
The only running that we think about is not for office.
No, running to the south of France, right?
Being able to run again.
Yeah. That's true. I think there's 19 or 20 different clinicals right now in the U.S. alone. Mm-hmm. Majority of those, more than majority, I think are more diagnostic and things like that. Mm-hmm. But there are at least, there's four or five major ones for altering disease mechanisms of MSA. There's a few for therapeutics as well. I think there's more like 80 across the whole world. But yeah, definitely. I definitely encourage listeners to go to the website and check that out. It's very useful for sure.
In fact, but it's as far as what I think we're on the cusp of, shall we say, is getting a differential diagnostic tool. We have the SYN1 test, which is CND Life Sciences, but Amperian is another outfit. They're trying to come up with a diagnostic test to decipher Parkinson's from, differentiate Parkinson's from MSA. And there's other people. So I think we're close to finding, something that will distinguish and distinguish the MSA from different diseases that are similar to it. And then once we do that, once we get that, that will help get people into studies that really have MSA. And I mean, or don't have some other disease, you know, like Biohaven, for example, did, they had verdiperstat, they were testing out verdiperstat, and they had, it didn't, the end result, you'll have to look at their website, Biohaven. They're a wonderful company, by the way. I believe that they're wonderful in the sense they're truly concerned and they'd like to help. They'd like to come up with, you know, all of them, all people, all the pharmaceutical companies that I've, and I've come, you know, I have regular discussions with pharmaceutical folks are interested in helping, you know. They want more drugs. They want to help. So Theravance, in particular, AskBio, Ionis, Lundbeck, Takeda, Alterity, what did I just say? These other diagnostic companies that are interested to get a tool together to help differentiate diseases from each other, you know. So I think we're close to that, close to finding something.
I agree. I really do. Especially since a lot of progress in detecting alpha-synuclein is happening, especially in the Parkinson's world, the Michael J. Fox Foundation and the other company has a similar test to it. And now it's like we can really test for these alpha-synuclein abnormalities. Now it's like, let's take that money and get into using it for research and treatment type of thing. So I wholeheartedly agree with you on that. Do you have any message that you'd like to share with your listeners regarding multiple system atrophy and or your charity's work?
Sure. Well, I think coming to visit us, defeatmsa.org, coming to visit us, our website. We also have msaunited.org, and that's the consortium website. And that has representations of all the different charities connected with us, which are, we're pooling our money, and we're trying to have a common research granting process. But also we have the virtual conference. We do things together, and we're trying to support awareness, you know, do awareness together globally. So the call to action would be come visit us, come to our website and check us out. But also, we're the only major U.S. charity that's still run by volunteers. We have a group of people like us that are volunteers, and we're doing our best. You know, we're a smaller charity, but we're doing our best. And so if anybody wants to donate to us, 100% goes towards the cause. Nice. Everybody that's a volunteer with our charities are our patient advocates, as well as our caregiver advocates. Yeah. And can I announce it?
Yes. Announce it.
Yeah. Okay. Daisy and David are joining our advocacy team.
Yeah. I saw my picture. Daisy and I, our picture on the website.
Yeah. I didn't know if it was up there yet. Circle the horses. And do more to advocate worldwide for our patients worldwide and our caregivers and anybody undiagnosed too. I mean, there's lots of people seeking a diagnosis as well.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
How confident are you in the skin biopsies finding biomarkers?
Well, I'm confident that we're going to come up with some kind of diagnostic test. And I'm not a doctor, so I can't make any, or a researcher. I can't say, you know, pro or con, but I can say that they have, at least what I've learned, is some interesting results. And there is a way, I think, I mean, I don't know. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that diagnosing, you know, because we all have alpha-synuclein in our body, but it's the level of alpha-synuclein. And if they can somehow gauge that, then we can gauge that, you know, they say, you know, there's quite a few MSA patients, right, that have taken it, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
And the SYN1 test. So I can't say one way or the other, but I can say that I've talked to the company quite a bit, the people in the company, and it seems to be promising.
I'm just curious because I haven't really had any kind of test for any biomarkers or anything of that nature.
Yeah, Daisy, I had a, Daisy doesn't watch my YouTube videos. One of my last videos was about the biopsy tests, and there's certainly five to use for detecting an MSA, but they're five completely different companies, and their staining mechanisms and the way they look for it are completely different, and they have different types of sensitivity. So, and it's short story, long story short, it's not the go-to test for MSA, especially not now, because most biopsies are used for like research purposes and not for diagnosing in the medical field.
Right.
But the tests have such the sensitive false positives, similar to like at-home COVID tests. They vary so much depending on the manufacturer, how they process them. They're not a reliable test to. And the problem with alpha-synuclein spreading in the body is it could be here with me, but not with you. It could be in this part of the body with you and not with me. And it spreads through everybody's body completely, generally in a very different way. So biopsy tests are hit and miss depending where they take it from.
There's three with the SIN1 test. There's three areas where they take the skin biopsy, mm-hmm. the neck and leg, and I can't remember what else, but they seem, you know, I know that the company really wants to test this out further and verify, you know, get verification of their studies. And, you know, more research, the better.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Really anxious to get to this new movement disorder specialist to see what kind of testing she's going to do, because I know she's going to do some testing.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had any testing done since 2020.
Since you were diagnosed, right?
In 2021.
Yeah, you had testing. You had testing at diagnosis, didn't you?
No.
I mean,
just clinic.
Yeah, clinical. Yeah. You didn't have an MRI or CAT scan or something?
I had a PET scan and an MRI, but they've never done another one to compare them.
I asked for the same thing, like how often do you redo the MRIs and stuff, and my doctors were like, at this point it's not needed because we know what you have. Unless, you know, they're trying to troubleshoot some other symptoms that are going on, they really don't have a reason to look for it anymore.
And then left Dr. Jal, he's awesome, but he was like, I don't need to do it, you know. He kept sending this waste of money, it's insurance issues, when I know I can tell by just examining you. Your probable MSA.
Well, I got one very important last question for you. And you can look down at that paper all day long. It's not on there.
Okay. I know what you're going to ask, David. No, I almost stole it from you.
Okay. If it's not it, you have to ask it.
Okay.
Bill, are you still, after all of these years, a Detroit Lions football fan?
Of course, you know, we have to be. I once tutored Lomas Brown. I don't know if you remember Lomas Brown.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Detroit Lions football player. I don't really watch football, to be honest with you. I support the Michigan or Detroit sports team.
I should have said, are you a Wolverines or a Spartans fan? How about that one?
I'm more Wolverines than Spartans. Just because my cousins went to U of M and my brother went there and, you know, whatnot. But we were the Titans. UD Mercy is the Titans. University of Detroit Mercy are the Titans. And my high school, I went to UD High. Yeah. Well, yeah, they're basketball. They also have other teams. I went to U of D Jesuit High School and Academy in Detroit, University of Detroit Jesuit High School and Academy. And that was the Cubs. That's high school, though, Cubs. And I was a nerd. We didn't really do any sports. You know?
Me too.
Almost saved you from answering that, Phil. I almost said he's not a fan.
Really? No, yeah. I'm a fan. I'm a fan just because it's Detroit.
It would beat him up if he wasn't a fan of Detroit.
Yeah, I'm a fan just because it's Detroit. You know, we are the D.
Of sports. So you're really not a big fan.
No, I'm not a big fan of sports. So.
Well, Phil, I personally want to thank you. I've only known you a short time, but the passion, unfortunately, where it came from, you know, the family and MSA, they say that it takes more than one man to run an army, but, you know, your you're contributing unknowingly, unbeknownst with others, but I want to thank you for everything you've done. I've seen it. You're extremely informative and smart when it comes to these types of MSA and getting the word out there. As I say, the gospel of MSA. But I personally want to thank you, because when I went to your website, you know, the website for the first time, I was overwhelmed with information, and it took me a few weeks to read through it, but you know, I see the heart, I see the passion, and I definitely want to thank
Absolutely. You put a lot of time traveling in all these countries and doing everything that you do for MSA, and mm-hmm. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I want to say, David, I made it through another episode. No cry.
I was a little shaky right now. I'm not sure. I can hear it.
Yeah, it's just a little bit. But thanks again, Phil. Thanks for coming on the show and helping our listeners have a little more information about MSA.
Yeah, certainly. And I'd like to come back someday if you have me.
We would love to have you back.
Yeah. If you want to hear from me again, and you know, the struggle continues. We go on and we pull together and we, you know, fight the good fight. We defeat MSA in whatever we can, whatever way we can, wherever we can.
We will win.
I see that in many of my YouTube videos, fight to find fight. You got to, someone has to, right?
Right. And that reminds me of my quote. It's not my quote, it's a civil rights quote. It said, if not us, then who? If not now, then when? If we're not going to do anything, we, the people that have witnessed this devastating disease in our lives, then who's going to do it? If we don't do it now, when are we going to do it? Yeah, we have to make a change, and we have to do what we can to, you know, alleviate people with this condition, alleviate the situation, alleviate the condition.
I think that's in my book, isn't it?
I don't know. But also buy her book.
Yeah. I have to plug it in every time, don't I, David?
Yeah, the verbal plagiarism. When are you going to do your book, David?
I've actually looked up the process. I have ADHD. I'm not sure I have that much attention, but
I can help you with that, David.
Phil, any
subliminal messages?
Phil, any last words you'd like to say before we?
No. Just I'm in spirit. I'm in the spirit. I'm with everyone that has the disease, wherever you are, whatever country you're in, whatever situation you're in, I'm with you in spirit, and I'm doing my best to help you and your family, and we'll help you as much as we can, and we'll keep on it.
Even in the heart of Texas.
Yeah, even in Texas.
Phil, if you see a spontaneous seed request for research out of Texas, just look over it 2 or 3 times, just in case, please.
Yeah, I will.
All right. We'll talk to you later, Phil.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.